First of all, I really enjoyed the forum that was sponsored by AARP. Obviously, I'm asking for their support. The members of AARP, I hope that they'll vote Culver Judge on November 2nd. And so this was an important discussion about senior citizens in our state. I've proposed today a number of steps that we can take to help seniors. Number one, we want to expand the property tax credit to more Iowa seniors, those living on fixed incomes. We've fully funded that credit this year that has helped thousands of Iowans across the state to the tune of about $23 million. We want to expand that to at least $30 million so we can cover and allow more seniors on fixed incomes to qualify for that property tax credit. Number two, we want to expand the home and community-based care waiver. We've started to offer that option in terms of aging in place, keeping seniors in their homes longer through this waiver that essentially allows us to use Medicaid dollars to provide services for those seniors living in their homes, and we want to expand that. Number three, we're going to have zero tolerance in terms of things like predatory lending with respect to seniors. Any senior that has been exploited and taken advantage of, we're going to require Iowa financial institutions to report those cases, for example, credit card abuse or predatory lending. We're going to require Iowa financial institutions to report those cases to local law enforcement so that we can hold any and all of those predatory lenders accountable. Number four, we're going to close the existing loophole that some assisted living facilities have been able to avoid. And we're going to require that those assisted living facilities comply completely with state law in terms of inspections and oversight, including allowing the state ombudsman to have access to consumers and residents of those care facilities. So those are four steps we want to take to help Iowa seniors in the future. And we're also going to make sure that Iowa voters and seniors in particular understand Terry Branstad's record with respect to seniors. Number one, on two occasions in 1984 and then again in 1994, Terry Branstad proposed taxing Iowa seniors in terms of their Social Security benefits. That would cost, in today's dollars, that would be a $50 million tax if those proposals would have been adopted by the legislature. Number two, Terry Branstad has agreed with former President George Bush in 2003. Terry Branstad says he supports the idea of privatizing Social Security, something especially after the Wall Street collapse in 2008, we don't want to do. Number three, on several occasions, Terry Branstad has proposed using state IPERS funds, state employee pension funds, to balance the budget, something that I completely oppose, but something that Terry Branstad has tried to do. And then finally, Terry Branstad has proposed a 15% cut to our current state budget, which would be a $150 million cut to our Medicaid budget, which would jeopardize services and healthcare coverage for as many as 400,000 Iowans, including 30,000 seniors, adults with disabilities, and children. With a 15% cut to the Medicaid budget, that would take those federal funds away that we need to cover 400,000 Iowans. So not only do we have the plan to move seniors forward in this state and to give them the respect and dignity they deserve through these proposals that I've put on the table today, but I want seniors and members of AARP to be aware of the Branstead record and the risky proposals that he's made in the past.
In regards to the tax credit for the elderly, you said $30 million. Do you have any idea how many are covered now and how many might be in the future?
We can give you the precise numbers on that. Certainly thousands of additional seniors would benefit, and we're going to have a detailed press release with those numbers early this afternoon.
One of the things Governor Branstead said this morning, he was talking about his jobs plan. He was talking about
what jobs plan? The jobs plan to create 200,000 jobs magically out of the air.
Part of it is that he would give tax credits to businesses to then help their employees go to college, for example. So when we were talking to him about the concept of tax credits, he said that what you and the State House Democrats did, like with the film tax credits, for example, in his words, he says it was dumb the way you set that up.
Well, first of all, you can't believe a word that Terry Branstead says about his jobs promise. He has broken his promise time after time. In 1982, when he first ran for governor, he promised to create 200,000 new jobs. He failed on that promise, coming up 150,000 jobs short. Again, in 1994, he promised 300,000 new jobs. And even during the Clinton economic boom of the mid-90s, he came up 245,000 jobs short. Terry Branstead doesn't have a jobs plan. It's a broken promise. He's not being honest with Iowans. He knows that he's not delivered on his promises with respect to job creation in 1982 and again in 94. And he knows that he's not being honest with the Iowa voters about this false jobs promise in the future. And look, Iowa was just recognized yesterday as being the third best managed, best run state in America. We don't need any advice from Terry Branstead, who cooked the books for 10 years, according to the Republican Auditor Dick Johnson, who kept two sets of books, who ran up billion-dollar deficits. Terry Branstead borrowed $3 billion as governor just to prevent the state checks from bouncing. So not only is he making false promises, but he's proposing things that won't work in the future.
So you're doubting his jobs plan? Is that fair to
say? He doesn't have a jobs plan. A jobs plan is not to say that you're going to overpromise hundreds of thousands of jobs. That's not a plan at all. It's how are you going to create a job? But the second part of his plan that's not factually correct, or he's not being honest, is all of our incomes are going to go up magically 25%. What's he going to require employers to pay everyone starting January of next year 25% more in their paycheck? I don't think employers are going to be too excited about that. So there is no plan, and he has a pattern of breaking his promises. And Iowa voters are going to, if they don't know that today, they're going to know that by November 2nd.
Sir, hey, Shauna Thomas, NBC News. Your campaign seems to be example number one of the enthusiasm gap problem we all love talking about right now. Branstead had Christie in last night. You are supposedly going to have the president back before November 2nd. What else do you need to do to bridge that enthusiasm gap?
Look, we have tremendous momentum. In the last week, I've picked up endorsements from groups representing nearly 100,000 Iowans. We continue to have crowds that are getting larger and larger. We had an Organize for America rally in Des Moines on Sunday afternoon with a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. I was at a bowling alley in Mason City, Iowa, last week at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We had 100 people packed into the room there. People are very concerned about Terry Branstad, about the fact that Terry Branstad would take us backwards on women's rights. He doesn't believe in a woman's right to make her own healthcare decisions. He would take us back in terms of embryonic stem cell research. He wants to put that ban back in place. He would take preschool from 22,000 four-year-olds that are going to preschool now, because he said he wants to take that $90 million and instead give it away to out-of-state corporations in the form of a tax cut. He wants to take healthcare from 30,000 children that are now receiving it through our state healthcare program, because he wants to reduce the eligibility, like Jan Brewer in Arizona, and take it from 300% above poverty to 170%. There is no enthusiasm gap, as Iowans learn, about these extreme proposals that Terry Branstad has made. And as Iowans learn and are more informed about the choice and the contrast in our positions, the more likely we're not only going to win, but we're going to have the kind of turnout we need to ensure victory. When senior citizens in Iowa learn today about the fact that Terry Branstad wanted to tax their Social Security in 1984 and then again in 94, and that tax would have cost them $50 million in today's dollars, they're going to be concerned about Terry Branstad. The challenge has been getting this information out there. When they learned that he agreed with George Bush in 2003 to privatize Social Security, they're going to be very concerned about Terry Branstad becoming governor. So we are working tirelessly. We have one of the best early voting programs that we've ever had. We're exceeding our goals in terms of those absentee ballot requests. And we're going to shock the world, and we're going to win on November 2nd, regardless of what the pollsters and the pundits and the prognosticators are saying. They were wrong back in 1948 when they predicted a Dewey victory, and they're going to be wrong again in 2010 when they predict a Branstad victory.
When is the president coming back?
The vice president will be here next Tuesday, and we expect we'll continue to have members of the administration and hopefully the president, certainly before November 2nd.
Governor, what do you think that Senator Reynolds will not debate your lieutenant governor?
She must have a problem with trying to explain Terry Branstad's broken promises. She must not want to talk about the fact that he promised to create 300,000 jobs in 1994 and did not deliver on that promise and came up to 245,000 jobs short. She doesn't want to have to explain why he promised in 1994 to grow population in all 99 counties, and more than half of the counties between 94 and 98 lost population. She doesn't want to explain why Terry Branstad wanted to tax Iowa seniors and their Social Security, why he wanted to raid IPERS, and why he wanted to privatize Social Security. We haven't seen his running mate for a long time. Iowans deserve to hear directly from someone that could be one heartbeat away from becoming the governor of this state. And it's irresponsible for her not to step up on a stage with my outstanding and capable Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge, who has proven to all Iowans that she is prepared to lead right now, no matter what. She has been one of the most capable, effective Lieutenant Governors we've ever had, and Terry Branstad's Lieutenant Governor candidate won't even get on the same stage with her. They're trying to run out the clock. You know, they think they're ahead in the polls, and they're going to run and they're going to hide, but we're going to pull them out, and we're going to ask them to be honest and direct with Iowa voters. That's what Iowa voters deserve. That's why I'm doing debates. And that's why the Lieutenant Governor is ready to debate not only once, but as many times as we possibly can debate between now and November 2nd. I think they're afraid to talk about their broken promises. I think they're afraid to talk about the fact that they're not telling the truth with respect to our budget. We just closed the books on a $750 million surplus after Terry Branstad and Kim Reynolds have been talking about having a budget deficit. They've not been truthful. They've not been honest. I'd like to know what they say about Iowa yesterday being recognized as the third best run state in America, something Terry Branstad never came close to achieving when he was the governor. So the facts are going to catch up to Terry Branstad. The truth's going to catch up to him. And we're going to win this race because we're not running and hiding from any Iowa voter. In fact, we're out there working tirelessly day and night between the Lieutenant Governor, the First Lady, and me to ask Iowans for their vote and their support on November 2nd. A big difference between what Terry Branstad and Kim Reynolds aren't doing right now.
By using the phrase heartbeat away, is that a subtle hint that to Branstad's age and his two hearts?
Not at all. Not at all. That's been a term that's been used since 1789 in the United States of America, and since 1846 in Iowa. You know, the number two person is one heartbeat away from becoming the President of the United States or the governor, should something happen to the president or the governor.
I have a question about Cedar Rapids, so maybe these folks aren't interested.
And you?
As I understand it, you support the hotel motel tax change that Mayor Corbett of Cedar Rapids people, you would sign that.
Yes, you know, there couldn't be a more stark difference between my commitment to the people of Cedar Rapids, my commitment to those communities across eastern Iowa in particular that were devastated by the 2008 floods versus Terry Branstad. Terry Branstad doesn't want to do anything to help them, literally. And he has a record of doing nothing or very little to help after natural disasters in 1993. He had a commission that was put together. He didn't adopt one of the recommendations. As a result of that, we were more vulnerable in 2008 because of his inaction after the floods of 93. In addition to that, he only put $14 million into flood recovery in 1993-94. We've invested nearly $500 million in state funds through iJobs and the Jumpstart Housing and Jumpstart Business Assistance Programs. Now Terry Branstad wants to oppose the mayor's efforts on not only the hotel-motel issue, but Mayor Corbett's idea to generate additional TIF revenue to help that community come back. He couldn't be more dismissive and frankly disrespectful to the residents and the citizens in Cedar Rapids. He doesn't want to rebuild their library, their community college building that was impacted, their fire stations. He has proposed pay-as-you-go flood recovery, which would mean that the folks in Cedar Rapids have to hurry up and wait for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. It's preposterous to suggest after the worst natural disaster in our state's history, we would have pay-as-you-go flood recovery. We'd have to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of bake sales to even put a dent in the flood recovery. So Terry Branstad, in terms of his comments yesterday, has proven once again that he would turn his back on our second largest city. And that's going to be a huge issue, and it should be, not only in the debate this Thursday night, because he has so much explaining to do, but when voters go to the ballot box on November 2nd. We've secured $4.5 billion in flood recovery funds. I'm working every day with Mayor Corbett and his team, and General Dardis, our three-star general that's leading the flood recovery at the Rebuild Iowa office, to help not turn our backs on communities like Cedar Rapids.
All right, folks, one more.
Branson says he wants to see more about this Linn County sales tax scheme that's too complicated to explain on the radio.
Yeah.
But you're okay with
I am okay. I understand it. Apparently he doesn't. You know, when people need leadership, they don't need indecision. They need action. They need leadership. And that's exactly what we've provided in the past on flood recovery. And that's precisely what we'll provide in the future. And Terry Branstad has a record of not being able to help communities recover from the floods. And he's proposed nothing, zero, this campaign to help dozens and dozens of communities that were devastated by the 08 floods. We've put $500 million into flood recovery. We've secured another $4 billion. And the choice couldn't be more clear. In terms of who wants to help these communities that are relying on some leaders.